This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, on Saturday, Manchester City completed the second leg of a treble that is unique and that will really make Pep Guardiola and his team become immortal. It's no doubt at all. Manchester United were the last English team to do it in 1999 when Alex Ferguson was the coach, and they won the league, the cup, and the Champions League. It's a very, very great achievement. And next Saturday, Manchester City will play Inter Milan in Istanbul, which is where Liverpool had their famous win over AC Milan all those years ago. And if they win that game, there's no doubt at all that they will join the immortals. It doesn't come down, of course, to one game, but it's a season's work. And in the case of Pep Guardiola, they've won five of the last six Premier Leagues. And what they're achieving now is remarkable. And we're joined by John Giles, who's played football at that level, who's been at Wembley and who has won a league championship and knows how hard it is. John, thanks very much for joining us.
No bother, Eamon. Yeah.
Let's look first at this game on Saturday. Manchester City, Manchester United. I thought that on first thought about that game when the semi-finals were completed was that City might give them a hiding. But then I thought back to all the cup finals, and there's rarely been a hiding. It's usually tighter than you expect. And this was tighter also than I expected in terms of the scoreline 2-1. But City were the better team, weren't they?
Well, it was 2-1, I mean. It was always going to be close in that respect. But I thought they were by far away the better team.
Yeah.
Deserved to win it, definitely, yeah.
And in saying that, when you look at what Erik ten Hag has achieved this season for Manchester United, to be fair to him, they won the League Cup, they qualified for the Champions League, finishing third in the Premier League, and they got to the FA Cup final. So, given the uncertainty around the place, what he inherited, and considering all things, he's done an okay job, would you say?
I think he's done a very good job, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, he took over a big mess, really.
Yes.
He had to deal with all the players there.
Ronaldo particularly,
Eamon, who, when he came in, asked for a transfer. He wants to get away. And he kept with him for a few months. And I think that was a big decision to let him go, get him out of the way, I mean, get on with the players that he had there. And, you know, I think, well, how long has Pep been doing the job? 6 years, 7 years, Eamon?
Seven seasons.
You know, and it's done a big job, as we know. But, you know, Ten Hag has come in 1 year. I think it's been a huge improvement, Eamon, on what he took over. And that's all he can go on. That's it. A really good first year, no doubt.
And there is a shape to the team. He has had injuries. Varane, for example, who I thought was outstanding on Saturday at centre-half, he's been out for a long time, just came back for this game. He's had some injuries and misfortunes. Marcus Rashford, who scored a lot of goals during the season and would be deemed to have had a good season, he tailed off in the end and wasn't much of a factor in Saturday's match. But no, it's fair to recognise the work that Ten Hag has done. And the other thing that has to be taken into account, John, nobody knows who is in charge at Manchester United. No. And we're coming into the period now where you have to be signing players or lining them up to be signed. And he doesn't have a chance because, in fairness to him, and we don't know who owns the club or who's going to be owning it any day now. So who's going to sign the cheque? Can he bid for players?
Yeah. And also the players that he wants, I mean, you want to be talking to them now.
Yes.
You know, and talking to the clubs and organising, because all the other clubs have got to be in. You know, I'd say City will buy a club, Chelsea will probably, you know, there's a lot of players going. You have to be organised and ready to go at this particular stage.
Yes.
That's certainly not the case, because as you say, they don't know whether they're going to sell the club or not, who's going to buy the club. It's a mess at the moment, and it's very, very difficult for the manager to do what needs to be done, or what he feels needs to be done at this particular stage, Eamon.
Yeah, and he has said, or let it be known, that his priority is Harry Kane. Mm. Harry Kane has indicated that he wouldn't be against the move to Manchester United, and that would be huge for the club, be huge for Harry Kane as well. But who's going to sign the cheque? And I think it's only fair that Manchester United fans, and I'm sure they do understand that, that it's underlined. This man has done a decent job, but the situation he's in at this part of the season, as you say, this is when the real business gets done in the transfer market.
Or even before now, Eamon.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, like if you're going to do, if you're looking ahead to the season, as we know, they can be talking to the players that they want to see, if they want to come to the club, agree all of the different things that needs to be agreed. But he doesn't know where to start now.
No.
Does he go for Harry Kane? Is he allowed to go for Harry Kane? Or any other players that we don't know about?
Mason Mount, who I think is an outstanding player at Chelsea, he's said to be interested in going to Manchester United, but the same problem arises. Who's going to negotiate his deal?
Yeah, he doesn't. It's a mess for him. There's no doubt. I mean, like if you talk about City manager, you know.
Yeah.
He'd have it. I mean, he's supposed to be an interested player, but no doubt he's been talking to them, Eamon.
Oh, absolutely.
And negotiating with them, the clubs and all that. You have to be doing that before the end of the season.
Yep.
And Manchester, we don't know who Manchester is even going to be sold to, Eamon, or if they're going to be sold.
Yeah.
So how can the manager get on with the job that he needs to do?
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Now let's look at City, John, and what they've achieved. I've always been a little bit sceptical about Pep, because I think at Barcelona, he had such great players. But when I reflect on that, he did change Lionel Messi's position from a right winger, essentially, to a deep-lying centre-forward, a midfield player, number 10, whatever you call them. And in doing that...
You call him great, Eamon.
Pardon? Yeah.
Well, just call him great, yeah.
He was great. Yeah. And he's probably the greatest player ever that we've seen in a race, of course, with Ronaldo, whose goals are incredible. But Messi became a great player, and that was a critical. And the other thing about, and I'd be interested in your view on this, at Bayern Munich and even at Barcelona, they were always a bit dodgy defensively. Puyol was the centre-half at Barcelona, fellow with the long hair. He wasn't very tall. He was a great leader of the team. He was captain of the team. But he never looked 100% at the back. And the same was true at Barcelona. But with this City team now, John, and it's only happened really, I think, in the last this season, they look rock solid at the back. I mean, they brought in, for example, Ruben Dias.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
He's found a role for Stones, which really involves moving him into midfield where he's great feet and he can play. Kyle Walker, remember Kyle Walker used to be a headbanger, charging down the line, crashing the ball over the bar, running into corner flags. He's a really top fullback now, John. Doesn't do any of that.
No, he's been very good. He's at a peak of his career. I think he's 31 now, 32, Eamon.
Yeah.
And as you say, he settled down, he got his head right, and he's been outstanding. There's no doubt about that.
And defensively, they have, of course, you know, their Brazilian goalkeeper who they left out on Saturday to give the reserve keeper Ortega a chance. And he saved him in the dying minutes, John. He came out and smothered the ball at the, I think it was Rashford's feet, which saved what could have been an equalising goal.
Yeah, he's good. I didn't agree with the before the match, Eamon. I must say, I didn't agree with putting the goalkeeper in.
Yeah,
there was too much sentiment in it for my liking. Yeah. Now, he's a good goalkeeper, and he did really, really well. But the
Ederson, Ederson is the regular goalkeeper. He's a great goalkeeper
too. Really brilliant. So I definitely wouldn't have put the goalkeeper in the final because he played in the other matches. I thought it was too much sentiment in that. I don't think there's any sentiment in football in picking your best team for whatever match you're going to play, and particularly the cup final like that. But it came off well for him. You know, when there were still times during the year now, I would doubt Pep's positioning of the full backs, moving them into midfield and that. But he's got so many good players, Eamon, you know, in the squad that they can do the job that's needed to be done on the day, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, for example, Bernardo Silva, who scored two great goals, the two goals that killed Real Madrid in the Champions League semi-final a couple of weeks ago, he was playing then in his best position, which is, I think, coming in off the right and using his left foot. I mean, he played an entirely different role in other games, including on Saturday. He can move and play left back. He can play right back.
Well. I must stop you there, Eamon. When he was left back, I thought it was outrageously bad.
Yeah, but there you go.
He was expected to play at left back and play in the middle of the field.
Yeah,
at that particular time. And I mean that's nonsense. It's really nonsense. And you know, it didn't last long. But he did it, and he is inclined to do that type of thing. You know,
yes.
Which I wouldn't agree with at all. But the talented players that he has, they can almost do it, you know.
Yes.
But he does have this thing that I'll try this. Now he's been a hugely successful manager, but he's had the money to buy the best players. Eamon, and I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm a fan of his. He wants to play football. That's for sure. But I think he does things at times, Eamon, that you think, God, I can't imagine that.
But famously, you know, in the Champions League final against Chelsea, he played no midfielders.
Yeah.
And they lost, which is only two or three years ago.
But that's what he is, you know. Like, he's on the way now to do, well, the last match to go to do a treble, which takes him doing, as we know, Eamon. Because obviously, he gets an awful lot right. And when we're looking from the outside, it's easy to say, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't, because it's not our team on the pitch. But like this season, I think with the players that he has and the way that he's played them, has definitely been very, very, very successful. Very successful.
Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about the game when we're just watching it. And another player that I think I certainly questioned the 100 million he paid for Jack Grealish from Aston Villa. Now, he took Jack Grealish, who didn't make much of an impact. And even at the beginning of this season, Grealish was in and out of the team. That young lad from Manchester, Phil Foden, was first choice in that position.
Yeah.
Now, Grealish, in the last 6 months, I think, has become a top-class player, a real top-class player. And that's down to Pep. But I think, what do you think? That's more important.
He bought him. I think what happened with Grealish, and it happens with lots of lads, they come to a club, it takes them a while to settle down.
Yeah.
And in Grealish's case, Grealish played as a left-sided midfield player for Villa.
Yes.
He didn't play on the left wing. He could do a bit on the left wing. But when he came to City, he played as a left winger.
Yeah.
Out-and-out left winger. And I think it took him, I think when you go to a club, it takes you a while to settle down. I just give you my little... When I went to Leeds first, I mean, for the first 5 or 6 months, I didn't play well at all.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's you're moving house, you're doing this, it's all different. And he's playing in a different position.
Yes.
And I think in the last, say, 2 or 3 months, he's definitely played well because he's settled into the team or wherever it might be. You know, he was disappointing. You're quite right.
Yeah.
He was disappointing in the first few months in the team. And he's come into it well now in the last little time, in the last 3 or 4 months. He's definitely looked like a player worth 100 million. But it's you never know what's going on in the club, Evan. You know, we're looking from the outside all the time. And at the end of the day, you're looking, okay, what has he done? As I said to you there, for what it's worth, I'm saying I wouldn't do that. I'm not managing the team, so
no.
Nobody knows whether my judgment was that. But
no,
you have
to
look at the end of the season and say, right, what did he do? He said, with Walker and players like that, lads he's brought in, Bernardo Silva, Diaz, you know, I mean, what they've done this season, did it last season, Eamon? Like, Arsenal were what, 10, 12 points ahead of them at one stage? You think they were gone?
Yeah.
No, they lost the last match of the season and still won by four or five points.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, which is amazing.
It is. And, of course, there's the Haaland factor.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, he's scoring 52, 53 goals all season. I think he scored, I think it's 34 in the league. I haven't got the stats in front of me. You can get stats anywhere.
but what we must remember as well with Haaland, Damien, at a time when they weren't doing well, there was a certain doubt about whether he was good for the team or not.
Yeah, but not expressed by either of us, I have to say.
No, but your pal, we used to be on the telly, the German lad, I can't think of his name at the moment.
Didi did question him.
You know, he made a good sense of it. But if somebody's scoring, you know, at that time, even then, he was still scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you now what he did. He scored 36 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And most importantly, he scored 12 in the Champions League, which are the golden goals, really. And I've never seen these. 22. He's very mature. At the end of the game on Saturday, they broke out and it was about 3 or 4 minutes to go and the long ball played through to him and he could have made a beeline for the goal, but he didn't. He took it to the corner flag, played around with the fullback, played it off the fullback and won the corner. It bought them a couple of minutes. So it showed maturity and intelligence, and he seems to be a real team player. Very popular with the other players. And I'd say he occupies 2 or 3 defenders for 90 minutes every week, John.
He's outstanding, Eamon. Actually, I've seen him do that before in a couple of matches. Take it to the corner flag.
Yes.
You know, because he's such a big fella, Eamon. It's very hard to knock him off with that. He gets another corner and waste time.
Yes.
But he's just been an all-round good lad. Does his stuff, more than does his stuff, the scores that he scored. But he's a team player. You can see him with the rest of the players. You know, they love him. If there's another lad on for a better chance, he gives it to them. He's not greedy in any way.
No.
He's been a terrific player for Manchester City this year. No doubt about that.
He's 22.
Yeah.
And a lot more to win in the game. And Jack really said to him, and I think he said it before the season, I love you, man. and he is the kind of player, isn't he? That
they all love him, Eamon.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They all love him, you know, because you can see when he's, as you said there early on, if it was a better chance for one of his colleagues to lay on.
Yeah.
He gives it to them. You know, he's not selfish. He's not, you know, he doesn't mess around. He's just plays for the team. And, you know, fellow players love guys like that. I mean, there's lots of players that I know over the years that, and they'd be mostly goal scorers, and some of them wouldn't be goal scorers, and they were terrific players, but they weren't nice people.
No.
You'd admire them, but you wouldn't like them, you know?
In my case, you wouldn't admire me as a footballer, but you liked me, didn't you?
Of course.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I want to ask you about, and we've talked about this, John, often, especially when Liam's here as well, the referee, Paul Tierney. What I think he did was terrible on Saturday. I really thought the penalty United got, which actually changed the game in a big way when Jack Grealish was deemed to have handled the ball. He didn't see it, but VAR decided up in the box, told him to go and have a look at it. It touched the finger and there was no intent. There was barely any contact. It didn't influence the game. Penalty. Yeah. Now, I think that changed the game, clearly. Mm. It gave United a break. And I think it was wrong. There was another incident. I know you have a strong view on this. The other incident was a foul by Fred on De Bruyne, which I thought was a penalty. Mm. Clear-cut penalty, no question. Mm. Didn't give it. So, VAR. I think VAR should be scrapped for this reason. I think it's putting too much pressure on referees. I think they're being second-guessed upstairs. I think their nerves are bad enough anyway. And I think it leads to trouble, such as we saw in the Roma-Seville game on Wednesday when Anthony O'Connor, the English referee, got a terrible time from Mourinho, who is a blackguard, really, and disgraceful. But there was a penalty decision involved there and VAR was involved again. Now, you have a different take on VAR, don't you?
I do, yeah. Well, I'll just go back to the last one you're saying, whether it's a bad decision or a decision that went again. But, I mean, if you go back over the years, that's not nothing new in Italy.
No.
When it happens, a decision against the team.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, like VAR... See, VAR is a mechanical thing, Eamon. It's what's happening to VAR with the people who are making the decision.
It's the interpretation.
Right? Interpretation, exactly. Yeah. Now, what they're saying at the weekend is Jack Grealish. I'll try and read it a little bit for you. I don't want to bore your listeners.
No.
Right, this is Chris Foy talking, a former referee.
Yeah.
He said, when I saw that incident and the VAR David Coote recommended a non-field review, you know, I wasn't surprised. The law says it's a handball if the ball touches your hand or arm, when it's made, your body unnaturally bigger.
Yes.
Now, how do you make that out, Eamon?
Well,
how do you make your body bigger?
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Grealish is jumping for the ball. Where does he put his arms? Where can he put his arms?
He has to put
them
up.
He's not making his body bigger.
No, he's putting them up because that's how you get loft.
Yeah, because he's trying to get a header on it or something.
Yeah.
And as we know, that particular, it actually touched his hand.
His fingers accidentally. Yeah.
Right? Now, what this fella's saying is Jack Grealish's hand is above his head, and that makes his body unnaturally bigger.
Yeah.
It's a clear handball offence.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. It's a clear handball offence.
Yeah.
By the rules that they're talking about. Right? Because
yes.
He's saying at the end, people's frustrations are with the law, not the decision.
Yeah. Well, now, when we played, and even now, they keep changing the rules. When we played, and in its original form, handball, there had to be intent.
Intentional, yes.
Intentional. In every penalty decision, actually, there had to be intent.
Yes.
And if there was no intent, if it was accidental or incidental, then no penalty.
Yeah.
Now, the other, well, he didn't give the Fred penalty, I think.
Yeah, no, let's stick to the penalties for a minute.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with VAR. That was intentional thing.
Yeah.
Now, what's happened with VAR, they've changed, it's not VAR that's changed the rules.
No.
It's whoever they are. I don't know who they are, Eamon. I think people who are changing the rules in UEFA, whatever it is, never played football before.
No. And they're changing the rule, but here's the point. VAR was brought in, I think we both supported very strongly, and it was brought in on this basis to correct obvious and clear mistakes. They were the words that were used.
Yes.
And that's what they were, like offsides and stuff like that.
Mm.
Obvious and clear. Well, there was nothing obvious and clear about the Jack Grealish thing the other day because the referee was looking at it. He was 20 yards away and he didn't see it. I didn't see it, and I'm sure you didn't see it because there was very little to be seen. But now...
No. Yeah, but that's... Eamon, sir, I just have to stop you there.
Yeah.
In our day, that was the rule.
Yeah.
It was intentional. We knew the rule. That was intentional. Right? Now, does this rule come in now, right, that it's not VAR that's making the rule. VAR is making the decision on what they've changed the rule to be.
Yes.
We don't know what the rule to... Like, in our day, it wasn't... If he was in an unnatural position, if his body was in a natural position, you know, was it intentional or not?
Yes.
But VAR hasn't created that. VAR is only something you look at to see if the rules are obeyed by what they've made the rules to be.
Here's a question. Has it improved the situation or has it made it worse?
I don't think it's improved it. And I don't think it's made it much worse, Eamon.
Okay.
To be honest, because there's some very, very good decisions in VAR that we don't see, or whatever it's going to be, offsides in the old days.
What's
the ball over the line? I know that's a different thing altogether, right?
Yeah. No.
But I just say, this is another opinion on it. Mark Halsey.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying, the law says that if a player deliberately moves his arm or hand towards the ball, making their body unnaturally bigger, they will be penalised.
Yeah.
Right. Now, first that, VAR doesn't make that rule, Eamon.
No, that's right.
That's an unbelievable rule.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you look at it, but you said making your body unnaturally bigger, they will be penalised. Now, how do you make your body bigger? Eamon?
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how in terms of the people who are making that rule. If you stretch your arm out away from your body into an unnatural position and the ball hits your hand, that is a clear penalty. That's how you make your body unnaturally bigger, abnormally bigger, because you wouldn't normally play football with your hand out And therefore, that explains that.
Yeah, but well, I can understand that, because that is a penalty. That's the player has done it.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Mm.
Right. Now, and if you go back to Saturday, there's no way that Grealish intentionally put his hand up to touch that ball.
Absolutely. It was a terrible decision. And it was a terrible decision to even get Paul Tierney to go to the touchline to even look at it.
Yeah.
And it had the effect, John, of wiping out a 1-0 lead.
I understand that totally, Eamon.
Yeah.
But I'm going back to the VAR situation. You know, VAR only showed that particular incident, right? That who made that decision? That decision wasn't out nowadays.
No.
Eamon. No. So it's not VAR. They're going on the decision that they've made. That's what it is, the penalty. So VAR has only shown that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well,
in our day, if nobody would all over the pitch would say that was a handball or a penalty.
All the guys up in the box making these decisions and the principal guy, they are all part of VAR, John. You can't separate them from VAR. The VAR system.
But maybe what we do is get rid of these mugs.
Well, who's going to make the decision then?
Well, FIFA, whoever's doing it.
No, but who's going to make the decision on the on-field decision? If there's an offside or a penalty to be given or made.
No, I'm not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can look at, if you do or put a rule in now, like it makes your body bigger.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, if they hadn't put that rule in, that wouldn't have been a penalty.
No, but the word they use actually is if your hand is in an unnatural position.
Natural position, yeah. Yeah, but who has made, what I'm saying, Eamon, is who is making those decisions? VAR makes the decisions. If they make those decisions, then it goes to VAR only because the decision has been made.
Yeah.
Like, who's making the decisions, Eamon? That's what I want to know. Who's making them?
They're
so stupid.
There's three guys in a box in London with all the paraphernalia and all the angles. One of them is the senior man on the day, and he alerts the referee, I think you haven't seen this, and I think you've made a mistake. The referee says, okay. And sometimes they say to the referee, which is usually the kiss of death, I think you should come over to the touchline and have a look at the screen. And when they do that, you know they're going to give a penalty. So anyway, we've exhausted...
Can I just go on one last little bit? This is Matt Halsey, one party saying in it.
Yeah.
He said, the handball law needs to be looked at urgently.
Yes.
As those who have played the game know the difference between natural and unnatural.
Yes.
Tierney was happy with Fred's tackle on De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Which you remembered in the tackle.
I do, absolutely. It was a clear-cut penalty.
Right, that's because this Mark Halsey is quite good.
Yeah.
He says, De Bruyne in the box, and that was not a clear and glorious, obvious error.
Yeah.
You were not going to criticise him for that. And VAR was correct not to get involved.
Well,
Casemiro should not have been sent off for his challenge. This is the referee.
Yeah.
But they all have, point I'm trying to make, the other referee I read out, two different opinions altogether. And they're ex-referees.
Yes.
But anyway, it's
actually Casemiro should, the foul Casemiro committed was on the City left back Akanji, and it was brutal, and he was looking.
It was
a bad tackle, John, and you know this guy. We've seen him now all season, and he has a lot of merit, Casemiro.
Yeah,
but I don't want to use bad language, but he's a dirty bastard.
But he's been involved in a few incidents, right? No offense.
Yes.
But anyway, it was. Go back to the football, Eamon. It was a good game for City. If they go and win the treble, it's been a great season for them, Eamon. There's no doubt whatsoever.
Yeah. Just let me ask you a final question, John, about the Champions League final. They're playing Inter Milan. I've seen Inter a couple of times. Dzeko, for example, who's 37 and played for Manchester City and won a title with them 11 years ago. He's playing Lukaku, who is on the bench. He might start, he might not start. We all know him from Chelsea. So They have some Premier League cast-offs, but they are Italians, John. They know how to defend.
Yes.
And they could make it extremely hard for Manchester City on the night. And that's assuming that Pep puts his best team out. It's no gimme, is it? Couldn't be.
It's never a gimme, Eamon.
No.
It's never a gimme in football. You know, I might have said to you before, we were talking about cup finals and that, and I was in one of the biggest disasters ever when we were playing the second division team, Sunderland, in the cup final.
Yeah.
It was in 70-73, and we were beaten.
Yes, I remember the match, John, and I actually played.
You wouldn't have got a bet on it. You wouldn't have got a bet on it, Eamon, you know.
Unfortunately, I backed Leeds.
I did.
And the goal scorer...
I didn't encourage you, though. I didn't give you a tip or anything.
No, you
didn't.
No, you're not guilty of that, John. But as you say, it was one of the greatest shocks in football history, in English football history, and it can happen.
It can happen,
Let's hope it doesn't happen for City.
I'd like to see City do it, yeah, definitely. I mean, they play as well as they can. But on the day, the hot favourites, as we know, Eamon.
Yes.
But again, football, you never know.
I'd like
to see them do it. I'd like to see them get the treble.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone would, and it would be a great finish to their year. And you have the feeling with this team, there might be more to come, because there's one thing to be said for sure, John, and it's for Manchester United fans. We have been complimenting properly about Erik ten Hag. They have a long way to go, John, don't they, to become a real title-challenging team, despite their good season.
They've got to back him, Eamon, now. Get it done professionally and do it well. Man U are a huge club, as we know, and they deserve to be up there with the best. I mean, he's done a good job, as we said early on, but he's got to be back now to get the job done.
Okay, John, it's been brilliant talking to you, as always. Thank you very much for joining us on the stand this morning. That's the great John Giles. We're grateful to John. To all of you for listening, that's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.